Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today, I wanted to talk about a very different way of understanding detachment. And it came out of a conversation I was having with a friend. And I was talking about how my relationship with fear and pressure and stress has really changed. That not that I'd never feel them anymore, but that they don't look scary to me anymore. I'm not scared of fear. I'm not stressed out at the thought of being stressed. I don't get discouraged at the idea of discouragement. And they said, wow, you really seem delightfully detached. And it made me laugh because I've always thought of detachment as a sort of a very Zen idea, a very spiritual idea where we are not caught up in the highs or the lows. And it's almost like emotional Prozac. One of the things that they say about Prozac is it takes out the highs, but it takes out the lows. And so you wind up even, but not very alive. Now, that's not true for everyone. And I know there are people who it has been a game-changing, life-changing drug for. So this isn't an anti-Prozac screed, but it's just recognizing that a lot of people use spirituality like Prozac. They use it to cut themselves off from the lows of life. It's often talked about as a spiritual bypass where you're scared of being overwhelmed by your feelings, so you become very spiritual. In fact, I had an acting teacher years ago. He used to audition people on camera, and I worked with him sort of just helping run the camera. And one of the things he would do in an audition from time to time is he'd be auditioning an actor or an actress, and they would do their audition, and he would talk to them and he would say, well, are you on a spiritual path? And inevitably, when he asked that, and he didn't ask that by any means of everybody, but when he asked that, the person would puff up a little bit and go, well, yes, I am, sort of quite proud of the fact that obviously they were so spiritual that even this acting teacher had recognized it. And I asked him one day after I'd seen this happen multiple times, how do you decide when to ask that question? And he said, oh, it's easy. If they're dead from the neck down, I assume they're on a spiritual path. Now, it was a very cynical point of view, but the reason that he was right more than he was wrong is because for so many people, spirituality has inadvertently become an avoidance strategy. It's become a way of not feeling. It's not delightfully detached. It's formally detached. It's I'm so spiritual that I'm detached. I'm so Zen that I'm detached. I'm so wise that I'm detached. It's got a kind of a flatness to it. Whereas delightful detachment is like watching a movie on your own in the balcony of the movie theater with a big thing of popcorn. It is like, you know, there's nobody around, so you're free to just enjoy the show. Right? You can react. You could boo if you don't like what's going on screen. You can cringe without worrying about anybody seeing you. You're detached in the sense that you know it's not happening to you, but you are no less alive to it. And one of the things I've seen about the difference between kind of that delightful detachment as opposed to the very serious detachment is that when you're enjoying the show from the balcony, you're not really judging the show. You're just enjoying it. You're not worried about what the show means about you or what your reaction to the show means about you. You're just enjoying the show. You're enjoying the movie. There's no future in it. You're not thinking, well, I need to watch this so that in the future, well, I better not react this way lest in the future. It's just a real-time curiosity, a real-time interest, a real-time fascination with what's happening. And when we can bring that kind of real-time observation from the balcony to our own lives, to ourselves, without judgment, without using it as a step in some kind of a self-improvement process, because we know there's something wrong with us, but we need to observe before we can correct it. A, we tend to find ourselves pretty funny. Because human beings are pretty funny. We do some really crazy things. And they always seem like a good idea to us at the time, even if they don't seem like a great idea to us at the time. But later we go back and go, what was I thinking? Well, when you start to see that without the judgment, without the concern, without the attempt to fix, then even the craziest things we do are kind of fascinating to watch. Like I remember years ago being invited to give a talk at a big conference, and I kind of knew it was going to be a disaster because it was just an odd mix of people and contexts. And in fact, somebody asked me, like, why are you doing this? And I said, well, honestly, because I think it's going to be a train wreck, and I really want to be there to watch it happen. And it was, and I did. And it was, I really wound up enjoying it. Now, nobody was hurt, right? It wasn't, it's not morbid in that sense. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It was incredibly human. And there was something beautiful about being able to watch this human drama unfold without judgment, without the need to fix it, change it, or stop it. And the same thing is true with us. When we are delightfully detached, when we can be with ourselves in all our glory and in all our crazy, in all our highs and in all our lows, when, like the poet Khalil Gibran said, we laugh all of our laughter and we cry all of our tears, then actually that kind of detachment, rather than leaving us dead from the neck down, allows us to be fully, gloriously alive. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.